possibly the only black man capable of traveling back in time to live a better life. Finally, Bishop, to me, my X-Man. Man, I hope you guys appreciate that intro. It took me maybe 45 takes to get it just right. Welcome to Super Black. I am your host, Carl Waldron. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting app. Head on over to super.black, that's the website, and get your fill of positive black representation. Thank you so much for listening. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're a returning listener, I appreciate you. If you're a new listener, settle in and have some fun to this, I don't know, jaunty podcast about the X-Man Bishop. I felt it was the right time. Why? Because SEO is hopefully going to be on my side, given that X-Men 97 will be releasing probably on the day that this goes live or, you know, sometime around this time. And I wanted to talk about Bishop for years, literal years. And the last episode I did was Storm. And in that episode, I said, man, I had to just say, F it. Let's just do it. And, you know, we'll deal with it live. And that's my approach to Bishop as well. I don't know why. I have reservations about talking about certain heroes. Maybe I hold them in the highest of regards. And I don't want to do them ill justice. But then I remembered, you know, this is a very fun, very casual podcast about black superheroes. So why overthink it, right? And given the imminent release of X-Men 97, I was like, if you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. You're never going to capitalize. So just get into it. So this is me getting into it. Bishop, you're on deck. For those who are maybe unfamiliar with the character of Bishop from the X-Men. His name is Lucas Bishop. He was born in a dystopian future in a mutant concentration camp. Very dark stuff. Yada, yada, yada. Travels back in time and joins the X-Men after his grandmother gave him all these stories about the X-Men legends. They're dead at this point. He travels back in time, meets them, says, you know what? It's nice here. It's not as crap as my future is. I'm going to stick around. And becomes part of the team. Bishop's powers are energy absorption. He's able to absorb passively any energy that, you know, he comes in contact with and redistribute it, whether kinetically through a blast. He can use it to strengthen himself for both physically and, you know, give him rejuvenation. He's able to use that energy to achieve a level of invulnerability for a bit. But as with all good heroes, he does have a limit. He does not know what his energy absorption limit is, but it can kill him if he absorbs too much energy. But he can redirect all forms of energy. There is a great, we'll get into the X-Men cartoon, but in the X-Men cartoon, he gives a lot of exposition as to how he uses his powers. So I would say go back and watch, if you have Disney Plus, go watch the original X-Men animated series episodes with Bishop. I think it was the Days of Future Past storyline. I think that's what they called it. I don't remember the exact lines, but he's like, I can take your energy and channel it right back. You gotta love the dude. The voice, Philip Akin, was the voice of the X-Men animated series version of Bishop. The man had a way of reading those lines, and it was quite classic. You should go back and listen to that. Just go back and watch that entire cartoon. Because it's awesome, and two, X-Men 97's coming. And in that, Bishop is making his return. So I was like, hey, let's give Bishop some love and talk about our introduction to him. So let's dive into my history with Bishop. I know Bishop from the X-Men cartoons. I think it's pretty obvious. And at the time, I was always in search of, maybe even passively in search of, characters that looked like me. I've said it on multiple episodes. And Bishop was one of those characters I was like, oh, he's cool. He's got a metal arm. He can travel through time. He has a Jerry curl. I like this guy. He's got gumption. He's got moxie. Traveled through time with a gigantic silver gun and, you know, wreck shop, beat up a bunch of people. It was basically the Terminator storyline in X-Men. He jumps back in time. I think he loses a bunch of his stuff, some nonsense. And he has to rearm and get his mission done. Watching Bishop, I was very much like, it's great to finally have a black male superhero character on this show. We had Storm. Storm is great. And then we got Bishop. And I was like, Bishop's incredible. It wasn't until I was further into my comic book loving time that I realized that Bishop was kind of not a ripoff, but he was a carbon copy of Cable. Him and Cable have very similar powers or abilities, or just a look. You know, they kind of look the same. And I was fine with that. I'm still fine with Bishop. Over the years, he's changed and morphed. He's had the Jerry curl. He has had the bald head. He's had the short hair, crew cut. But he's always got that crazy mutant tattoo on his eye, which is part of his brand. Literally, it's a brand. They branded him in the future. And now it's just like a permanent stamp that lets you know who Bishop is. The character of Bishop was created by Will Portasio and John Byrne, and the character first appeared in The Uncanny X-Men number 282 in November of 1991. He's been in so many different storylines within the X-Men canon, including part of the Krakoa storyline from Jonathan Hickman most recently. He was a cop, which is always kind of weird, in one of the future storylines. He was one of Gambit's bodyguards, which is kind of strange. I did read an interesting bit of trivia on the fandom wiki, which I thought was worth mentioning. In the what is the X-Men, The Times and Life of Lucas Bishop, volume, was it 3? They allude to the fact that Storm may be Bishop's grandmother. And that was weird to me. They draw them similarly, and that she knew some, you know, very intimate details of the X-Men that no random person would know. And Bishop makes reference to the fact that while when he went back in time, the X-Men looked nothing like he imagined. Some of them were painfully familiar, like Gambit and Storm. So people were believing that he knew Gambit in the future, and Storm is his grandmother of sorts. I hope that's not the storyline, only because he doesn't need to be related to Storm. We're not all related, you know? So, I mean, there's no reason to have them, especially a retcon relationship. I don't believe that was ever intended, but the writers have carte blanche to kind of write whatever story they want, but having Storm and Bishop related brings nothing to the table and adds no further, it doesn't add anything interesting to the story, let's say. It just connects two black characters together for no apparent reason. That being said, Cable is related to Cyclops, so it could be in the vein of that, right? They have a familiar relationship. Time travels, go back in time. They meet their parents and their grandparents and whatnot. So I'm, let's just say, on the fence of that story beat. If it makes for a good story, hopefully it works. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go and actually purchase The Times and Life of Lucas Bishop, volumes 1-3, and read them. You know, I've been looking for a good Bishop comic to kind of sink my teeth into, and that seems like a pretty good one to get down in. Not volumes 1-3, volume 1, issue 3, whatever. Just go look it up on the Marvel fandom wiki, and you'll get all the information you need. And you can read it along with me. Maybe it'll be like a book club thing. I tried the book club thing with the Blackula and didn't really get much traction. But if fans of the show or people interested in a book club of black superhero comics, I am down. Let me know in the comments and we can get that started. So, in honor of the release of X-Men 97 and of my love of things like the X-Men trading cards of the 90s, I am going to go over the stats of Lucas Bishop, aka Bishop, the time-traveling X-Man, and let's see how we feel about how he stacks up against other X-Men. So, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stats that were used within the trading card industry, the Marvel trading cards, where they kind of ranked your abilities. So the stats are durability, energy, fighting skills, intelligence, speed, and strength. So I believe I did this for Storm because I did get a comment from a friend claiming that the stats were all wrong and that Storm needed better numbers. That's neither here nor there. But we're going to do it for Bishop now. So, according to Marvel.com, here are Bishop's stats. His durability is a 3. His energy, which I believe is energy output, is a 4. His fighting skills are a 4. His intelligence is 2. His speed is 7. And his strength is 3. We'll get to that number 7 shortly. So his durability is 3. And I think these numbers are based off of the highest level mutant, right? Like if you have a durability of 7, you're probably indestructible. I assume someone like a Juggernaut might have a 7. I'll have to look that up. I assume a Juggernaut will have a number 7. So he has a number 3. But my question is it based off of his non-powered up form? Because I do know that if he absorbs enough energy, he does have a bit of invulnerability, but it's not permanent. So I guess if he has his base level of he's just sitting around, it's a 3, which makes sense. Okay, I pulled up Juggernaut. Juggernaut is a 7, so that makes sense. Okay, so if you're comparing Bishop to someone like a Juggernaut in their vulnerability or their durability, of course Juggernaut's going to be a 7, so then the 3 does make sense. Okay, so how about this? We're going to base it off of Juggernaut. Now, so Bishop's energy output is a 4, which makes sense, and I'm looking at Juggernaut. His energy output is a 1, and from what I know of Juggernaut, that is accurate. He doesn't shoot any blasts. He doesn't have any energy beams. He's just a giant wrecking ball. So Bishop being able to absorb energy and channel it back, having a 4 is fairly high, considering Cyclops is probably a 7. So 3 away from where Cyclops would live, I get that. That's fine. Fighting skills, 4. Sure, yeah. I don't know too much about his hand-to-hand combat. His wiki claims that he's very good at hand-to-hand combat. That's, you know, base level stuff. If it's a 4 and that's on par with his energy output, which is still really good, 4 must be pretty damn good. In the Marvel Universe, leave in the comments who you think in the Marvel Universe would have a level 7 fighting ability. I would say Captain America, Black Panther, Wolverine, maybe? Maybe. All right. His intelligence is 2. Now, that is what I assume is like based off of someone like Reed Richards. Like, the intelligence scale is, like, are you a super genius? If you're a 2, you're probably just a person, right? He has the base level of intelligence of any random human being. So does Juggernaut. So yeah, they're just smart enough to be a person. They're smart enough to walk around outside and not trip on their own feet, which a lot of us do. And I've watched my wife and kids and myself just trip on nothing. So maybe our intelligence is 1. I can't be too sure. here's where things get goofy for me. It says his speed is a 7. I've never heard of Bishop being crazy fast. All right, so give me 1 second to kind of research this shortly. Quicksilver, we're looking up Quicksilver's powers. His speed is 7. Okay, bam. Why is Bishop's speed the same as Quicksilver? That doesn't make sense, y'all. Someone at Marvel, please get on this and fix this, because Bishop is not a track star. Bishop is not running as fast as Quicksilver. That doesn't make sense. If anything, his powers of speed are 2-1. What's Juggernaut? Juggernaut's speed is 4. But that makes sense, because if 4 is like the above normal strength, right? We said like Bishop's energy output is a 4. And if that's 3 away from, you know, the like Cyclops, who's probably a 7, that makes sense. Juggernaut's speed is a 4 because once he gets moving, you can't stop him. He does run rather fast. They've shown that. He's like a charging rhino. So that makes sense. So if Juggernaut is a 4 and Quicksilver is a 7, Bishop has to be like a 1, right? He's just a guy. I have comics of Bishop playing basketball with Wolverine. That's about as fast as he's going to be playing basketball. He's a normal, I was going to say a normal human being. He is a mutant, but he's not a fast mutant. He is an energy mutant. So I'm very confused by this number 7, Marvel. I need you to rectify this, or give me a comic to read where he is a speedster, please, where he races Quicksilver and they're neck and neck the entire time, because that's the only way Bishop can be a 7, and so can Quicksilver. Now, again, this is all based on Marvel.com's character sheet for Bishop. The actual like stat is, it's just on a website. Maybe someone put the wrong value. I don't know, man. I don't have access to this thing, although I would like it. Marvel, get at me and I will fix these issues for you. I wonder what their CMS is. Anyway, I'm getting too deep into my own thing. Next and final is strength. Bishop's strength is classified as a 3. Juggernaut's is a 7. And Quicksilver's is a 2. So if, like we said, if 2 is like the baseline human strength, then yeah, I understand that he would be a 3. So his durability and his strength are 3. Bishop's energy output is 4, along with his fighting skills. His intelligence is 2, and his speed is a whopping 7. Again, this is out of 7. I didn't say that at the beginning. It's between 1 and 7. So, again, I'm very confused by the number 7 stat on speed. Anyway, I personally love Marvel trading cards. I love how these stats are added up. I like reviewing them. I like this whole little thing I just did. Did you like that? Let me know in the comments and we'll do more of those. We'll do like the stat readouts from Marvel.com and do some comparisons with other, maybe not equal heroes and villains, but just, you know, trying to figure out how they stack up against one another. And with that, I think we're going to call it on Bishop. I don't have too much information to give to you on the guy, because there are wikis and there are, you know, lots of interesting articles and comics that you should go out and read. But what I will do is I will put links to all the things I referenced in this episode in the show notes. I will put recommendations for comics down there. And there is something that Super Black is doing, which is starting our own character sheets. We don't have stats on them, but we do have sort of general information about height and weight and their first appearance, a quote, and then it's kind of a repository for all the articles and podcasts we do about certain characters. Right now we have Luke Cage and Black Manta up for Black Superhero and a Black Supervillain. I will create a Bishop page, which I'm very excited to do. And then you guys, the fans, the listeners, can let me know what to add to the page, what articles we should write, and who we should do maybe a stat battle with. Is that what we're calling it? I don't know. We're just yammering at this point. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to Super Black. This has been a joy. I really love doing this show. I really like highlighting Black characters. It's becoming quite a passion for me. And we're also coming up on like 8 years that we've been doing this show and running Super Black. So maybe we'll do an anniversary thing. I don't know. Or do we wait till 10 years? Let's wait till 10 years. Why not? Who celebrates their eight year anniversary? Well, I think everyone does. But that's neither here nor there. It's been a while since I've closed out an episode. So let's try and get this right. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe, like, tell a friend, head over to our YouTube channel where we have a whole bunch of videos and the podcast is there if you want to subscribe there. I appreciate your time and energy. I'll catch you guys next time. Full stop.